translation in purport. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, appeared on this planet by his internal potency and enjoined himself amongst competent women as he were engaging in mundane affairs. Purport. The Lord married and lived like a householder. This is certainly like a mundane affair, but when we learn that he married 16,108 wives and lived with them separately in each and every palace, certainly it is not mundane. Therefore, the Lord, living as a householder amongst his competent wives, is never mundane, and his behavior with them is never to be understood as mundane sex relation. The women who become the wives of the Lord are certainly not ordinary women. Shishirada Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishigonita ki. The women who became the wives of the Lord are certainly not ordinary women, because to get the Lord as one's husband as a result of many, many millions of births, tapasya, austerity. When the Lord appears on different lokas or planets or on this planet of human beings, he displays his transcendental pastimes just to attract the conditioned souls to become his eternal servitors, friends and parents, lovers and respectively in the transcendental world, where the Lord eternally reciprocates with such exchanges of service. Service is pervertedly represented in the material world and broken untimely, resulting in sad experience. The illusion living being, conditioned by material nature, cannot understand out of ignorance that all our relationships here in the mundane world are temporary and full of inabilities. Such relations cannot help us be happily perpetually. But if the same relation is established with the Lord, thus we are transferred to the transcendental world after leaving this material body and become eternally related with him in the relationship we desire. The women amongst whom he lived as their husband are not therefore women of this mundane world, but are eternally related with him as transcendental wives, a position which they attain by perfection by devotional service. That is their competence. The Lord is Para Brahma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Conditioned souls seeking after perpetual happiness in all places, not only on earth but also on other planets throughout the universe, because of constitutionally a spark, a spiritual spark as he is, can travel to any part of God's creation. But being conditioned by the material modes, he tries to travel in space by spacecraft and so fails to reach his destination. The law of gravitation is binding him like the shackles of a prisoner. But other processes he can reach anywhere. But even if he reaches the highest planet, he cannot attain the perpetual happiness by which he is searching life after life. When he comes to his senses, however, he seeks after Brahman happiness, knowing it for certain that unlimited happiness which he is seeking is never attainable in the material world. As such, the Supreme Being, Param Brahma, certainly does not seek his happiness anywhere in the material world, nor can his paraphernalia of happiness be found in the material world. He is not impersonal because he is the leader and the supreme being amongst innumerable living beings. He cannot be impersonal. He is exactly like us and he has all the propensities of individual living beings in fullness. He marries exactly like us, but his marriage is neither mundane nor limited by our experience in conditioned state. His wives therefore appear like mundane women, but factually they are all transcendentally liberated souls, perfect manifestations of the eternal internal energy. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militan Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharya Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, thank you for attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and allowing me this opportunity to say a few words. I don't feel particularly qualified. By your mercy, I can maybe say a few words, hopefully they might resonate in your heart. The Lord's activities are never easy to understand. They are quite extraordinary when we consider what we get up to in life, in our relationships. When Krishna comes in the material world, seemingly, he seems to also be engaging in the same activities as we do. And thus, it appears it is mundane. And sometimes people find that, how is it that the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Supreme Godhead, can come in this world and engage in these so-called mundane activities? And some of his activities are quite baffling. They're quite difficult to grasp. And particularly, as explained here, his relationship with the women are very, very hard to understand. When someone looks at it from a mundane viewpoint, it would seem like it's just some kind of a mundane relationship. Or particularly when we hear that he married 16,100 wives. And to some people, that's totally mind-blowing and find it hard to believe this concept. And in fact, there are many people out there, when the British first went to India and they started to try and understand what the Vedic culture was. And when they came upon the scriptures and they read about Krishna's activities, engaging in 16,000 wives, their minds went boom. What kind of a god is this? Seems like a sex god. So they found that really, really hard to understand. Once the devotees were distributing books in Europe and they had a book table and they were distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And then just down the street, there was another book table and this belonged to some nuns. And they were also distributing their literatures. And they would come and harass the devotees. Stop distributing your books. Stop giving out your books. And in this way, they would harass the devotees. Of course, the devotees are determined, no matter what kind of harassments you get, when you go out on the book distribution, there's always such a variety of people you meet. And sometimes they're very, very aggressive and they try to disturb the devotees, particularly if you meet the born-again Christians. So these nuns were harassing the devotees. And eventually they took it to a legal situation to try and stop the devotees distributing books. So a court summons was given to the devotees to appear in court. So then the devotees, they appeared in court, and the judge was sitting over there, and then he asked the nuns, what seems to be the problem over here? my dear ladies. Well, the nun said, these people are distributing books about God. And the judge said, well, what's the problem with that? He says, well, if you read the book, Krishna book, in there he's engaging with 16,000 women. And this is not the idea of God, that he has so many women. It seems like he's a bit of a debauchee. So we're trying to stop this kind of books going out to people, giving a false misunderstanding of who God is. Then the judge said to the devotees, what do you have to say? Then the devotees looked at the nun and asked the judge, can we ask the nun a question? And the nun said, yes. And the devotee asked, when you take your nunnery vows, what do you have to vow for? This is all. We have to believe in God. He said, yes, yes. What else? He said, well, we have to be celibate. Yes, yes. And he said, what else do you have to do? He says, we have to marry only one person. And they say, who is that? He said, we have to marry Jesus and no one else. So then the devotee said, so that is your vow? You have to marry Jesus? And they said, yeah, yeah. And said, there's about 10, 15 nuns over here. Goes, yeah, yeah. And that's, of course, in the world, there's thousands and thousands of nuns. And the nun said, yes, yes. And they all have to take a vow to marry Jesus. And the nun said, yes, yes. So it would appear that Jesus is married to more than 16,000 women. Seems to be like he has the same kind of situations as Krishna. He has many, many wives. And the judge started laughing and he closed the case. So the idea is mundane people, they cannot understand God's activities. They compare these kind of mundane situations to be something ordinary. And sometimes it even makes some people think about some of the moral implications of God. Is Krishna a moral person for marrying all these women? And there's even a certain class of people who worship Krishna, and they have, unfortunately, a little bit of a misunderstanding that they go as far as saying that we only worship Bal Krishna and no one else. And their misunderstanding is that when Krishna engaged with the gopis, he became contaminated. And therefore, we only acknowledge the Baal pastimes. So this is a gross misunderstanding of who Krishna is. Krishna doesn't have to follow the rules and regulations of those which are set upon us in the world. If God was bound by the same rules and regulations as the humans, then he would not be God. If God was bound by the same rules and regulations as the human society, he would not be God. And therefore, he'll be part of the limited structure which is presented. And it's not always easy to understand Krishna and his transcendental activities. Once Prabhupada was giving a darshan in India, and then after darshan, some guests were there, and one guest asked a question. And the question was, Krishna is an immoral person. And then Prabhupada said, why is that? Then they said, well, Krishna married more than 16,000 women. What kind of a God is that? He's not setting the right kind of precedent over here, marrying so many women. Should be happy with one and that's it. So then Prabhupada thought for a little while. Then he said, do you believe that Krishna is God? And the person said, yes, I believe Krishna is God. Then Prabhupada said, do you believe that everything is a property of God? And the person said, yes, yes, everything is owned by God. He's the Supreme Person. And he said, if you believe that, are you married? And the gentleman said, yes, this is my wife over here. Then Prabhupada said, if everything is a property of God, then your wife is also the property of God. And then, do you accept that? And then the person started, you know, sweating a little bit. And he said, yes. And then he says, well, in fact, you are the immoral person because you are taking God's property. Since everything belongs to God, since all the women belong to God, they are His property and He can do what He likes with them. Therefore, you have claimed this lady to be your wife. Therefore, you are immoral. Actually, she belongs to Krishna. Of course, the gentleman couldn't say anything after that. So, the first thing and the most important thing is that everything belongs to Krishna. What do we have? So, and these ladies, these queens are not ordinary persons. As explained over here, they have accumulated millions. Think about it for a few seconds. We struggle for one life to perform a little austerity, to get up, to maybe follow a few basic rules and regulations. But here in the purport, it is explained that these souls have performed austerities for millions of lifetimes, acquired some pious credit. And if you know your Ram Leela, then when the Lord was in the forest, He came across the sages, and these sages have been performing many austerities, and then when they saw the Lord, they didn't have a dasya mood when they saw the Lord. They had more of a madhurya rasa. So the Lord pleased with their service, the Lord pleased with the devotional service, gave them that opportunity that they will become His queens in another pastime. So this is all been arranged by the transcendental will of the Lord. When a mundane person tries to understand the Lord's activities, he will simply be baffled. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains there are four types of people who don't understand His activities. Do we know who they are? Do you know which verse it is? Srinivas, I'm sure you know. So there's the Naradama, the Dushkritana, the others? Yep, those intelligence who have stolen, and the last one? Yep, the demons, the atheists. So when they see the Lord, then they see Him in a mundane way. They see Him as someone who is just a prince, a flamboyant person, and in this way they can't really understand who the Lord is. It needs someone who is a devotee to understand who Krishna is. Otherwise, if you try to understand him with these kind of texts, you will only be bewildered and you won't understand. So Krishna gives us a little hint of how we can understand him. And that hint is in the Bhagavad Gita. Anyone know what that hint is? There's many probably. Anyone have any idea maybe? Yeah. Devotional service, that's right. So that's explained in chapter 11, text 54. So after Arjuna has seen the universal form, after he has seen the four-armed form, then Lord says that, "My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding." So Krishna himself is saying that his activities are a mystery. His activities are not easy to understand. And in order for us to understand his activities, then we have to be on the path of devotional service. Otherwise, scholars with their gyan, with their senses, with their limited knowledge, if you try to understand through gyan, then you will not able to understand Krishna. You will only come to a mundane understanding of who Krishna is. And unfortunately, this is what has become of the scholars when they try to understand Krishna through knowledge, through books in a mundane kind of way. But Krishna is saying the only way to understand me is through devotional service. And then you will be able to enter into the mysteries of my life. And then in this way, if we have that right attitude, then Krishna will reveal himself to us. Krishna will allow us to enter into the mysteries of his extraordinary life. So those who are devotees, those who are on the path of devotional service, those who accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachit Ananda Vigraha, and then by the eyes of devotional service, then you can understand who this Krishna is. Then we can begin to comprehend these pastimes of the Lord. The pastimes of the Lord are never ordinary. When the Lord was engaging with all the 16,000 wives, they were 100% satisfied. And he engaged with each and every one of them individually. And each and everyone felt happiness with the Lord. And Prabhupada in the purport talks about our own relationships in this world. Generally, everything in life is based upon relationship. Whatever activities we have in the world are all built around the relationship. And the first relationship we have is what? Sorry? Love is one. What's our first relationship when we enter the world? Mother, the parents, a mother. The first 9 months there in the womb, then we are building our relationship with our mother. And Prabhupada sometimes says that this love, this relationship with the mother is very, very, very strong. And it's the closest thing to love in this world. The mother would do anything. Then as we grow older and older, sometimes we find we have a relationship with our parents. They not always turn out to be conducive. They don't always turn out to be the loving relationship we had. And in many cases, they even turn out to be there whereby they fight each other. And there was this situation where this boy who was 12 years old, and then the father was obviously a little bit of a demon, an aggressive person, and abusing the child violently. So when the father was sleeping, the son got a shotgun and killed the father. So sometimes these relationships that we have, they don't always pan out the way we want them. Then the next relationship is with the siblings, and we have relationship with the siblings. So these relationships are there at the beginning, but as we all know, when we grow up in our childhood, we're always constantly trying to get attention of our parents. We're constantly fighting. I remember numerous times fighting with my brothers, getting a black eye, getting knocked on the head. And then sometimes when they grow up as an adult, they turn a little bit more kind of even horrible, the relationship. And sometimes brothers, they don't even speak to each other. So we have that kind of a relationship. And the one that everyone always put so much time and energy is the relationship between a man and a woman. It's that relationship that brings some sense of real happiness to us. The feeling of a man and a woman when they're attracted. So many songs are written. I would say 80% of the songs are written about this magical, unique, loving relationship that man and women, when they meet. And then what you feel at the beginning, what you feel when you see that person, what you have, your goals for that person, over a period of time, unfortunately, they change. Not all of them, but as we see in Kali Yuga, this relationship turns into a bitter relationship, turns into a sour relationship, turns into a relationship where after getting married, then they divorce, they end up in a court case, and the lawyers are fighting for them. They cost £950 per an hour. So it's expensive business getting married. So Prabhupada is trying to explain that when we have these relationships in the material world, ultimately, no matter how hard we try, they end up in frustration. We want to try and perfect our relationship with each other, but when we have it on a mundane level, then I scratch your back and you scratch my back. And the moment you stop scratching someone's back, then it stops the relationship. As much as everyone uses this word, love, in a relationship, everyone uses this love to bring people together. It's meant to be unconditional, but Unfortunately, that's not the case. It's just not the case. And we live in a world whereby Shishirada Gokulananda ki jaya. We live in a world that even when we enter married life, there's a certain clause when we enter a relationship that what's mine is mine, and then if we separate, mine's going to stay mine. So there's not really that surrender. And therefore, when it's in a situation like that, you can't give yourself 100% in that relationship. So all the relationships that we build in this world, to some degree, to some level, I'm not just generalizing everyone, but I think we can all say to a certain degree or another, they end up with tears, they end up with suffering, they end up in a situation that is awkward. So how do we stop that? How do we avoid that suffering? How do we not get in a sticky situation like that? So Prabhupada explains in the purport, that's very, very simple. The way to avoid any of those limitations, any of those frustration, is to build a relationship with Krishna. The way the gopis have done, the way the devotees have done, the way the queens have done, is to build that relationship with Krishna. Because Krishna, He will never, ever let you down. You surrender to Krishna, you give yourself to Krishna, then Krishna will never, ever let you down. And seemingly, it might seem that He's letting you down. Seemingly, it might seem you're in a dark hole. Seemingly, it seems that God has forsaken us. But still, we have to have that faith. Then there will be light at the end of that tunnel. When you have that shudder, when you have that faith, no matter how you treat me, Lord Chaitanya says in that verse, what's that verse, Parama? Yeah. No matter how you treat me, you will still be my lovable Lord. So the Pandavas, they thought they were going to lose. In fact, if you calculate in a mundane way, the odds were completely against the Pandavas. They had a weak general. They had a smaller party. Whereas the Kauravas, they had a far superior general. They had more experienced warriors. They were much larger force to reckon with. So if you go in a chess match like that, you would think the Pandavas would lose. But no. When Krishna is on your side, then there's nothing you have to worry about. What's that? Mare Krishna, Rake Krishna, Vishwamba? So if Krishna wants to protect you, no one can kill you. No matter how many astras were thrown at Arjuna, they could not hurt him. Because Krishna was protecting him. And you all know the famous story, isn't it? Who knows that famous story? Which one I'm thinking of? See if great minds think alike. That's right. You know that story? When Krishna comes off the chariot with Arjuna. So when the battle of Kurukshetra finished, then Arjuna They had to get off the chariot, and then Krishna asked Arjuna to get off first. And then, of course, Arjuna was impolite. No, no, you go first. And, you know, have you ever been in that? No, you go first. No, you go first. No, no, you go first. You go first. You go first. You know. So, you know, Arjuna was saying, no, Krishna, you go first. And then Krishna insisted, Arjuna, no, you go first. Then Arjuna got off the chariot. And then after Arjuna got off the chariot, Krishna got off the chariot. And as soon as Krishna got off the chariot, what happened to the chariot? Boom! The chariot went on fire. And Arjuna was completely bewildered. How is this possible? How can this happen? I don't understand. Then Krishna revealed to Arjuna that while I was on the chariot with you, no harm can come to you. I absorbed all the powerful astras of Bhishma, Karna, Dronacharya. If I was not there, you would be fried like a fly. But I absorbed all that. And now the war is over. The chariot went on fire with all the astras that were meant to destroy him. So, life has so many disappointments. Life has so much frustrations. Life doesn't always turn out the way we want it. In friends, relationship, family, wife, children. It takes a big curveball. And sometimes we don't understand why. But no matter what life throws at you, no matter what difficulties lie ahead of us or behind us, if we keep Krishna within the goal, then we'll be able to be properly situated. And then Krishna will be always there to protect us. Even though we are seemingly going through so much difficulties, even though we are seemingly going through so much frustrations in life. And this is the test Krishna always gives the devotees. Sometimes we think that when we are on the path of devotional service, life would be easy. Life will be honky-dory. Yeah, Krishna is going to look after us, put out the red carpet for us. No, the moment you surrender to Krishna, then you are declaring war with Maya. And Maya is not going to be happy with you. She's going to give it all she can. And let me tell you, with all those arms, with all those weapons, with all those swords, she's going to give it the best shot. But no matter what, we should always have that faith that Krishna will protect us. Krishna will always be there. So don't try to understand Krishna through our mundane calculations. We will never come to the right conclusion. When we try to understand Krishna, 2 plus 2 equals 4. You can't calculate Krishna like that. Because when you understand Krishna, 2 plus 2 in the spiritual world could be 3, could be 4, could be a million, it doesn't matter. Krishna can do whatever he likes. He has the right. So, the conclusion is that we can only understand Krishna's pastimes through devotional service by surrendering unto him and trying to come with a humble attitude. If you're an arrogant attitude, like Duryodhana did when he invited Krishna for lunch, he put out a lavish banquet, the best cooks, the best utensils, the best ingredients were used to try and impress Krishna. He was arrogant. He thought this would please Krishna. Then after having had lunch at Duryodhana's, he went to Vidura's house. And when he went to Vidura's house, When Vidura saw Krishna, his emotion burst out into tears. He could see the Lord standing in his doorway. Tears flowed from his eyes. And he was overwhelmed to see the Lord come to his humble abode. And then when the Lord came and sat, he didn't have anything to offer. So he just grabbed a banana. And with so much tears in his eyes, so much water in his eyes, when he was peeling the banana, he didn't know what he was doing. He was so raptured, captured by seeing the Lord in his house. He threw the banana away and he gave the banana peel to the Lord. And did the Lord accept it? Yes, because he was saturated with bhakti. He was saturated with devotion. And this is what Krishna wants. And although sometimes it seems that Krishna is a really demanding person, atmanivedam, surrender everything, but in essence, Krishna is very happy just with a little. Patram paspam toyam palam. Just these things, but it has to be saturated with bhakti. Then Krishna will always be there for us. And then whatever frustrations we have in life, whatever difficulties we have, whatever things we can't understand about transcendental leela of Krishna, Krishna will reveal it to us when we perform devotional service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.